Good morning. Did you enjoy the music from Carissa and Dave? Wasn't it beautiful? How many of you heard it? Okay. How many of you didn't hear it? Yeah, okay. All right. Well, we're so glad that you are here. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you for showing up. Thank you for being with us today. We hope that our service will be a blessing to you. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and then drop it in the offering plate or leave it on the information table on your way out, that would be just so helpful to us. And hopefully you also received the bulletin like the rest of us stopped by and got a bulletin. And so take it out right now and let's kind of go through some of the things that are going to be happening. This morning we have communion, as you can see, so that means we're going to be taking an offering for our benevolent fund, and those of you that is Lake Hazel Bible Church family, you know what that means, so I'm not going to take the time to go back over that. And then at 4:30 this afternoon, for those of you that are volunteering and helping in our Awana ministry, there is a meeting for us to be able to have right here at the church, 4:30. If you're not involved in Awana, but you would like to be in Awana, and you haven't been able to let Becky know that you're interested in it, and you can be at the meeting at 4:30, that would be very helpful for you as well. And then right after the morning service, in the back of the sanctuary, we're going to be doing Awana registration. So if you have kids or grandkids or other family kids that are going to be coming to Awana and you want to get them registered instead of waiting till the first night of Awana, do that right after the morning service. Becky and I think Andrew will be back there for that. Don't forget that our Daily Bread devotional books for the next quarter are out on the information table, and they begin September 1st. So September 1st, guess what, is a week from today. Wow, where is time going, right? It just seems to be flying by. And then you'll see that there's an announcement about the fact that Becky and I are going to be out of town Tuesday through Thursday. If there's a need for you for pastoral assistance during this time, please let Robert or Jared know, and they'll be able to help you out with that. And so so you're all wondering, why are you going? Where are you going? Why are you going? So let me just tell you so that you can be in prayer. So on Tuesday, we're flying to Phoenix. Our friends that we travel with, their youngest daughter, who is going to be retiring from the Air Force after 24 years, and her retirement ceremony is on Wednesday. And so she wants me to be there to be able to be a part of her retirement ceremony. She could have got a military chaplain. She said, I don't want that. She could have got a pastor from the community. She said, I don't want that. I want you. And so we've made arrangements to be able to go there and to be able to be a part of it. She's already given me my marching orders. I know what I'm supposed to do. And so that'll be great. But she told me, because I'm a civilian, I can say anything that I want. So guess what? They're going to hear how to believe in Jesus as Savior for eternal life, right? Right? Not going to pass that up. And so anyway, so you be in prayer for me that I'll be able to honor God and that I'll be able to just not disappoint her for all of the trust that she's put in me, and just pray that everything goes safe. And we'll talk to you a little bit more about our big trip coming up in just a few days after we get back from Phoenix. All right, so now that we got all of this stuff out of the way, you ready to do the good stuff? Ready to do the wonderful stuff? The reason why we're here? The reason why we're here is to worship Jesus, amen. Right?
That's right.
It's not about us. It's about him. It's not about what's going on around us. It's about he who's inside of us, right? So let's worship him. Let's worship him like we haven't worshiped him all week long. All right, worship team, let's go.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning? We're going to sing the song, Low in the Grave He Lay, Christ Arose. And I know we sing this every Easter, but you know what? It's okay to sing it outside of Easter.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he rose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He arose, he arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Give the Lord a round of applause, come on.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns, our God reigns.
Sing aloud.
Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Out of the tomb he came with grace and majesty. He is alive, he is alive. God loves us so, see here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know he is alive. And our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns,
our God reigns.
Yes, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns.
Go ahead and be seated as we continue. Father, thank you so much that we get to be in your house this morning. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessing that it is to come to church, to worship you, to remember Jesus rose. It's the proof of our salvation. It's the proof of our eternal life. It's the proof of every promise you made will come true. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Christ is truly our firm foundation. Lord, we love you. We praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad that but I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I build my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. Faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. Rain came and wind blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm going to make it through. Yeah, I'm going to make it through, 'cause my house is built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me's shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't.
Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and true. Thank you, Lord. We know you will never fail. Is for us. Who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? What can separate us from his love?
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
This is your God.
And the Lord is good to all, and he has compassion on all that he has made. As far as he is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us.
Praise the Lord.
Praise, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you did at the cross.
Praise, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Lift it up straight to him.
Praise, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Sometimes you may feel like you don't have much to offer. Sometimes you might feel like your brokenness is too much. Whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is in the past that's holding you down, shame, regret, you have something to offer to Jesus today. It's praise. He accepts your praise the way it is. So praise him with all you got, with all your heart.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
You may not be perfect, but in his eyes you are.
Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord,
because he's worthy of your praise. Sing.
Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
I will lift up my voice for you alone, Jesus.
Praise, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You are worthy of every bit of praise that we can give, every offering we can offer. You're worthy of that and more, infinitely more. So, Lord, we take this time to offer all that we have to you, all that we are to you, Lord. As the ushers take this morning's offering, keep that in mind as you worship him. Worship him. Don't offer money. Worship him.
Try to clean it up nice, try to hold it all together. I'm living rich in the world, but a spiritual beggar. And I've been waiting to give till I can give you something better. You just wanted my heart. So here it is, all of it. Will you take it in this condition? Here I am, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. And Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all. You turn the pennies in my hand into a heavenly treasure. 'Cause your kingdom rules by a different measure. And so I'm pouring out until I'm an empty vessel. Lord, here's my heart. The joy and the sorrow, yesterday and tomorrow, I let go, fully surrendered. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all.
All
to Jesus, I surrender. All to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I daily live. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to you I freely give. I will ever love and trust you. In your presence I daily live. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. 'Cause you love every broken piece of an honest offering. Jesus, you can have it all. Jesus, you can have it all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Thank you, worship team. So is it all surrendered? Now don't answer until you think about, is it totally surrendered? Because it may be surrendered for while we're in the safety of the sanctuary. It might be surrendered for the next 30 to 35 minutes. And then as we walk out these doors, we get in our cars, we begin to do the activities that are laid ahead of us for today. Will it still be surrendered? And the activities of tomorrow, will it still be surrendered? And the activities of Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You get the idea? You get the picture? It's so easy for us on Sunday morning in the safety of this sanctuary to sing, I surrender all. He can have it all. It's another thing to live it out there. It's another thing to live it out there. God doesn't want us to just surrender it on Sunday mornings in the safety of this sanctuary. He wants us to surrender it all. And that might be a daily occurrence. That might be a moment-by-moment, everyday occurrence. It's trying to surrender those things that Satan says needs to be a part of our lives, that we know that God says shouldn't be. So is it all surrender? I guess time will tell, won't it? Because he can have it all. He paid for it. So he can have it all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we read these words, starting in verse 19. You don't have to turn there. Just listen. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have for God? You are not your own. Let that sink in for a moment. You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God. Glorify God. How do we glorify Him? Surrendering. Why is that important? Because, turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I'm going to give you a little backstory for Hebrews chapter 12. I know it's been a long time ago since we celebrated Easter. Easter 2024. But I had a whole message in mind taken from Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses for Easter. And I'd worked on it, and I prayed through it, and I studied through it, and I had it, what I thought was honed in, and then God said, no, you're going to do a different one. And He gave me a different one to be able to do. So I kind of set this aside until the right time. And I've been praying every communion Sunday as we were headed towards communion Sunday. Lord, could this be the one? Lord, do you want me to pull that one out? And you want me to do it? And so as I said that prayer about 2 weeks ago, knowing that communion service was coming, unless Jesus came, and then I wouldn't have to worry about it, right? But He didn't, so guess what? He gave me peace about doing this one. You see, we're bought with a price because Jesus endured. Jesus endured the cross. I was reading in the book of Hebrews, and I came to these verses, and you know, sometimes something just gets stuck in your mind. You read something, you hear something, and you just can't get rid of it. How many of you do that with songs from the 50s and 60s, right? How many of you hear a song from the 50s and 60s, whether it's on a TV commercial or on the radio or whatever, and you know exactly the words to those songs, even though you haven't heard them for 100 years or better, right? But those words and that music just keeps coming back. And you can sing them without missing a word. You can sing them without missing a tune. Because why? Because they're ingrained in you. Because you heard them and you said, I'm going to take that in. Well, I've probably read these verses in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. If I've read them once, I've read them over 100 times in my 50 years of ministry. But there's a thought in here. There's a phrase in here that this time when I read it, I couldn't get rid of it. You know, they used to say back in the old days, you know, something would get stuck in your craw. This got stuck in my craw. And I couldn't get rid of it. So hopefully by now I've given you enough time to find Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. What is that talking about? I think it's talking about surrender. Surrender that sin that's come into our life that we know shouldn't be there. That we should lay aside, we should surrender every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, here's the phrase, endured the what? Endured the what? The cross. He endured the cross. Now here's the whole capstone. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. But He did. He did. Because there was this thing called humankind that had been tainted with sin. They'd had inherited sin that goes all the way back to Adam when Adam was in the Garden of Eden. He rebelled against God. He disobeyed God's word. And he did what God said he shouldn't do. And from that moment on, the book of Romans tells us every human being, sin has been passed down from generation to generation, and it's still continuing today. But Jesus endured the cross because as human beings we couldn't pay for our sin. We couldn't satisfy what God's requirements were for the payment of our sin. So Jesus endured the cross. And he did that for you. And he did that for me. And the Bible tells us in several places he did it for the whole world. He endured the cross. So as we get ready for communion this morning, I want us to focus our thoughts. I want us to focus our hearts on the fact that Jesus endured the cross. It goes on to say, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We are told to consider Jesus, who what? Endured the cross. He endured the cross. He endured the cross for sinners, not for good people, not for perfect people, because we didn't fit either one of those definitions. That description didn't apply to any one of us in the human race. In fact, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all have what? Sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. So class, does all mean all? Does it mean you? Does that mean me? Now, wait a minute, I'm Pastor Sam. Don't I get a pass? Nope. Nope. None of us. Because we're all sinners, Jesus endured the cross. And we need to consider. And that's what we're going to do this morning as we prepare our hearts and our minds to participate together in the celebration of communion. We're going to consider Jesus, who endured the cross and despised the shame. He endured the shame because of the joy that was set before him. He went to that cross with joy, knowing what it was going to cost him. He went to that cross with joy, knowing what it was he was about to do. He went to that cross with joy, knowing that he had to do it because none of us could. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He did it for you, and he did it considering and enduring and despising the shame because of the joy that was set before him, because he's the beginner and finisher of our faith. He walked the way of faith first for us. Now, I know you're all sitting there and you're all theologians in your own right, and you're saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. What about the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus faced a great struggle. There's no question about that. And it was a struggle of his heart. He who had all the power in heaven and earth would not face a struggle from anything outside of himself. But this struggle was a struggle from within. Now, Jesus was born and he lived as a human, but he had never experienced physical torture and death. He had never experienced suffering like he was going to endure on the cross. And all four of the Gospels tell us that Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he went into that garden to be able to pray, he asked his Father to take this cup of physical suffering from him. And Mark seems to really place an importance on Jesus' suffering. Listen to what it says in Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. But his prayer didn't end there. He went on to pray, yet not what I will, but what you will. Luke chapter 22 says that Jesus, as he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, was in agony. And this Greek phrase in agony means severe mental struggles and emotions. And even when an angel came from heaven to strengthen him, it tells us that his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, this is a rare medical phenomenon called hemodiatrosis, or bloody sweat. It is something that is actually possible. Jesus was under severe emotional distress as he struggled in prayer, trying in his humanity to find another way to face his upcoming suffering. And with that great burden, he prayed so hard that the capillaries under his skin broke, releasing blood. As the sweat poured off of him, it mixed with the blood, falling in great drops to the ground. In his humanity, Jesus did not want to go through what he knew was coming, but he endured. There's a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 6 through 8, that I think portrays the mindset of Jesus at the end of his garden prayer. Looking ahead in time, Isaiah writes, "I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." When Jesus ended his third prayer, his face was set like a flint. Yes, his humanity had struggled with the suffering yet to come, but he overcame it by faith, and he prayed, "Yet, not what I will, but what you will." When was the last time you prayed that prayer to God? "God, not what I want, but what you want." You see, when we pray that prayer, that's surrender. That's surrender. "God, I have my own plan, but I know you also have a greater plan. I'm going to follow your plan." Because I've tried following my plans in the past, and yeah, they didn't work out so well. So I'm going to follow yours. Not what I will, but what you will. Jesus turned toward Jerusalem and the suffering that was waiting for him because his face was set like a flint. Jesus was determined to do God's will all the way to the cross. And there's some important things that we need to consider as we look at Jesus determined to do God's will all the way to the cross. At his trial, Jesus endured. If you're taking notes, that's point number one. At his trial, Jesus endured. During his unlawful trials, he went through three of them. Two Jewish trials and a Roman trial, all three of them unlawful. During his unlawful trials, the temple guards and other participants struck Jesus in the face and they spat on him. They made fun of him by saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who struck you?" Because some of the temple guards had blindfolded him. Why did they do that? Because they didn't want him to see the blows coming and be able to flinch away. And as a result of Jesus being punched, he must have suffered bruises and facial swelling. He might have even suffered a split lip and other abrasions and maybe even had a cut over his eye. But worse suffering was yet to come. Yet in all of this, Jesus endured. Here's point number two with Pilate. Jesus endured. Pontius Pilate was the fifth Roman governor of Judea, holding this office under the emperor Tiberius. Pilate presided over the trial of Jesus and was the one who ordered his crucifixion. Jesus was bruised and weakened by the loss of blood from his previous beatings. Jesus had not eaten since the Passover meal in the upper room, and he was dehydrated and worn out from lack of sleep when the Jewish religious leaders took him to the far side of Jerusalem, to the fortress of Antonia, where Pilate had his palace. By the way, archaeologists who have done archaeological digs inside the main walls of the city of Jerusalem, they found the palace. And the palace was called Antonia. And that was the dwelling place. That was the presiding place for Pilate. After questioning him, Pilate said he could find no fault with Jesus, but under pressure from the mob, he sentenced Jesus to a Roman-style beating to be followed by death by crucifixion. And when it was determined by the officer in charge that Jesus was just clinging to life because of the beating was stopped. And due to the loss of blood and fluid, starving his body of oxygen, Jesus would be in what is called hypovolemic shock, which itself could cause death. Yet in all this, Jesus endured. with the Roman soldiers. Jesus endured. After his time with Pilate, the Roman soldiers led Jesus into a common hall and placed him in the middle of more soldiers. They placed the robe across his shoulders, placed the stick in his hands, and began to mock him as a so-called king. They wove together thorns that were 2 to 3 inches long, molded them into the shape of a crown, and pressed it forcefully into his head. As the thorns pierced the skin of the head, more bleeding occurred. They struck Jesus across the face also, causing more bruising and bleeding, and took the stick and beat him over the head, driving the thorns deeper into his scalp. Then they tore the robe off of him, and the robe most likely had stuck to the clots of blood on his back. And when they removed it, just like ripping off a bandage, this was caused more pain and even more bleeding. Yet, with all the suffering and pain, Jesus endured. On the walk to Golgotha and during the crucifixion, Jesus endured. The weight of the heavy crossbeam was just too much for Jesus in his weakened condition. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us the soldiers found a man called Simon of Cyrene and compelled him to carry the crossbeam of Jesus. At this time, Jesus was in extreme pain. Blood was running down his face and into his eyes. He was sweating the cold, clammy sweat of shock. But as he made his way to Golgotha, Jesus endured. When they reached Golgotha, Jesus was offered a pain-killing drink, but he refused. Jesus had to feel all the pain for the sake of sinners. With a crossbeam on the ground, Jesus was placed on it. His hands would have been tied to keep them from moving, and then they were nailed to the crossbeam. The Romans used nails made of heavy iron with square edges along the shaft. They were long enough to be driven completely through the hands of Jesus and the wood of the crossbeam. And then the nails were bent over on the backside of the beam so as not to become loose. The crossbeam was then affixed to the vertical. His feet were put on top of one another, toes down, and placed on a small platform with his knees bent. A long nail was driven through the arches, causing tremendous pain and more bleeding. And then, with Jesus secured on his cross, it was hoisted up and over a hole that had been dug, and then dropped in with a thud, sending waves of pain through the body of Jesus. Yet, with all the suffering and pain, Jesus endured. And he did this willingly. John chapter 10, verses 17 through 18, Jesus said, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. And this charge I have received from my Father." Jesus endured because God sent him to be the Savior of the world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." Jesus endured because Jesus came to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not just covers it, but takes it away. John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus endured so that all who believe in him as Savior will have eternal life. 1 John 5:20. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Christ Jesus. He is the true God and eternal life." How do we get eternal life? By being in Christ Jesus. How do we get to be in Christ Jesus? By believing him, in him as Savior. It's not about doing a work. It's not about following a creed. It's not about following man-made rules and regulations that spiritual leaders in the church for centuries have put in place. It's about believing in Jesus as Savior. Believing that Jesus endured to the cross. So that on that cross, he could be the propitiation, he could be the satisfaction of what God required for the payment of mankind's sin. And when we believe in him as Savior, nothing more, nothing less, we're given a beautiful gift of eternal life in his presence with him. And by virtue of the fact that it's called eternal, I just had this conversation the other day with somebody, by virtue of the fact that it's called eternal life, it can never be lost. It can be never removed. It can never be taken away. You can't even give it back because it's what? Eternal life. And it's all because you believe in what Jesus did on the cross for you. You believe that he's your Savior. You believe that he endured all the way to the cross and everything that was on that cross so that he could be the payment for sin that God required from us as human beings. He is the true God and eternal life. So this morning, as we prepare together to celebrate communion, let's remember Jesus endured. He endured so that you didn't have to. I'm going to ask the men to come and join me at the table. And while they're coming, let me just remind you that in order to participate in communion with us this morning, you don't have to be a regular member of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You don't have to be a regular attender. You just have to believe that Jesus is your Savior. Let's remember Jesus.
Righteousness, righteousness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. brokenness. Brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want from me.
Let's remember Jesus. Thank you, man.
Would you all stand with me for our last song today?
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Thank you, Jesus.
All my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Have a great week. In the name of Jesus, amen.